she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my good morning to you. Happy Saturday. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your hosts, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hello.
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. Hiya. We're here every Saturday taking your phone calls, 877-787-1037. Wait, that is not the right number. That's at KVIL, the other station I work at.
Oopsie.
Sister station of 105.3 The Fan. Number here, 888-881-1053.
Middle note.
Oh my gosh. Why did
middle
they take
note.
It off the wall? It used to be. Oh, there it is. 877-881-1053. I'm going to say it again just because I confused everybody. Plug this into your phone, 877-881-1053. Hey, do Sean and Choppy still do the Fail Friday?
Because
I'm a nominee right
just
there.
FYI.
We have
right
one professional on the air with us that we can depend
Lane.
On all the
Thanks,
time.
Lane. Lane.
Thank you, Lane.
Thank
Lane,
you,
where
Lane.
Are you?
Don't push a wrong button over there.
You're supposed to have my back.
I'm ready to go.
Is the AutoFlex Leasing fan text number still 43733?
As far
is that
as I
right?
know. As far as I know.
And AutoFlex Leasing is still 972 or 817-234-1234.
There goes my job.
Yep. Man, I missed 1 week of the show and I'm all discombobulated. Sorry
Why
about that.
Why did you miss 1 week? Where was Dave and Tammy?
I believe y'all went to New York for an auto
trip.
Convention.
Exactly. The New York International United. Auto Show. Yes. Happens every year about this time, and we went for the unveiling of some of the new cars and to see them put a 2015 Mustang on the 86th floor of the Empire State Building.
I remember you describing how they were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually got to see it come to life.
We got to see it be
up there.
There.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let us.
It was sleeting
watch.
And snowing like mad the night before when those guys were putting that car back together on top of the Empire State Building. Guys and gals.
70 degrees all week. 70 degrees all week. And just so you know, going up to the top of the Empire State Building, I keep trying to call it the Eiffel Tower. Don't know why. Guess it's the E. Anyway, they're open from 8 a.m. till 2 a.m. You can go up there. I think, you know, the last elevator ride up is like 1:15. But then they close it at 2. So they had to do that between 2 a.m. and 8 a.m. while it was a snow shower. That's what they called it, a snow shower.
Well, there was sleet and it was a snower. There was sleet and snow everywhere. So if you want to see how they actually did take the car apart and put it back together, guess what? We have a way for you to do that. If you go to AutoFlex Leasing's Facebook page, you're going to see a video of the engineers from Ford assembling or disassembling and reassembling that Mustang. It's pretty darn crazy.
So be sure to check that out. Did you guys get to see the new small SUVs that are going to be introduced?
You know, some of them, no one really had one there. Honda was going to have one there, and they put it off. But that is the newest thing with manufacturing in the U.S. is the compact SUVs. And what happened is they found a market for those in emerging markets in India, in Africa, in Asia. They have found a big market for these little bitty SUVs. And, of course, we had the Buick Encore here and the Nissan Juke, and they both did pretty well. So the manufacturers, if something starts to work somewhere else, they figure, what the heck? It'll work in the United States, too. The other thing is, if they're building a zillion of them for Asia and Africa and India, well, heck, it doesn't cost that much more to build a few more for North America. So coming out very shortly will be the Jeep Renegade, the Chevrolet Trax, and the Honda HR-V. And these are all very small cars. The Chevrolet Trax is going to be on the same platform as the Chevrolet Sonic. So it's...
Oh, wow, that is tiny.
Yeah, it's a little bitty SUV, but they found that people really like the utility of having the additional storage space and not having necessarily a trunk.
Right.
You know? So these won't be third-row vehicles. They're not people carriers, but they're better than a car for a lot of carrying.
So a Honda HR-V, would that be bigger or smaller than a Honda CR-V?
It's going to be smaller.
Oh.
Yeah. And Toyota's looking at building a car that will be smaller than the RAV4 and introducing it also. So it's sort of the next new thing. The Trax is being built in Korea and Mexico right now, and they've already sold 90,000 of them in Canada and Europe.
I don't like the name.
Trax?
T-R-A-X?
Yep. Don't like it.
Yeah, they're looking for new ways to...
Don't like it.
Did you notice that very few cars ever have a name that begins with a vowel.
Oh, no, I didn't.
There's
Avalon.
Buick Encore, there's a few.
Yeah.
But almost all cars begin with consonants, and the thought in the business is they sell better.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of strange.
That's like with colors. People always say that black dogs don't get adopted as often as other colors because they blend in with the black cages. And so people just walk right past them.
And they don't photograph well unless you're a really good photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard the same thing when I was dog shopping.
It's weird how things like this happen.
Where did I lose control?
I have no idea.
You never had it. That's the thing.
Black dogs?
Never had it.
I'm just saying it's one of those weird things like having a car that
she's a dog
starts with a consonant.
That's she is, in fact.
I've got dogs on my T-shirt, dang it.
All right. We'll leave it at that.
All right. So anyway,
the small SUVs are headed to market, some of them as soon as 2015. And if you want to drive one or if you want to test drive one, give us a call at Autoflex. Tell us what you want to drive. We'll be glad to have it waiting on you.
The mini cars have done pretty well, actually, when you think about the Fiats. I see a lot more than I thought I would see.
Mm-hmm.
And with fuel prices, really, they're not going to go down. You know,
No.
I think we've adjusted to where they are now, and we'll only see them go up. And the new thing is going to be the electric car or the hydrogen car. And so they're going to have to reduce the cost of the vehicle itself. And then when I just noticed sports cars are small already.
Right.
And then Nissan came out with their Rogue, which actually did well. Then the Juke. And then when you look at a lot of the other small vehicles, I think they'll do fine. I think the small SUVs will do well.
If you listen to the prognosticators in New York at the conferences that I was attending, you will hear that fuel prices really won't change much for the next 4 or 5 years. That's what they're expecting.
They're not going to creep up.
They're not going to creep up. We have more and more oil in the United States. We're actually to a point that we've actually got like a glut of oil now.
It wasn't about whether we had oil. That was
speculators. That has a lot to do with the price of gasoline on the open market, not having to do with speculators on the open market. And so they're saying that gas prices really won't go up much in the next 4 or 5 years. What will happen, though, is used car prices will go down in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to start seeing some degradation of the used car pricing just because the supply will be more. We're selling more and more cars, and more importantly, we're leasing more and more cars. And now the leasing market is driving the used car market.
Sure.
People aren't getting cars because they have driven their car until the wheels fall off. They're getting cars because their leases are up.
Right.
And so they're expecting 444,000 more lease terminations in 2014 than we had in 2013. That's almost
half a million.
Yeah.
That means another 500,000 vehicles will be sold, most likely new.
Yeah.
They'll probably lease again.
Well, and that's the other thing. People that are leasing again.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, some people leased, some didn't. Some would lease and stop. Some would start and stop. But the people that are leasing now have discovered how it works and why it works, and they're returning and they're doing new leases. So it's really good for the economy because leases actually turn over much more quickly than purchases. The other thing that was talked about a lot at those conferences is that the purchase cycle has really gotten long. And there are people now financing cars for 6 and 7 years. And those cars, they're going to be in those cars for 5 or 6 years until they reach an equity point, which really, really changes the whole picture on automotive purchasing cycle.
And it is your duty as an able spender
to
stimulate the economy. Keep that money flowing. Seriously, that's how you keep your own job.
Right.
Don't hoard your money.
It's so hard to do, though. If when the economy is taking that downturn, you automatically think, I've got to save and conserve everything that I have while I have it.
Well, I think a lot more people are saving and conserving, but here's the thing. Most people should probably be leasing their cars according to the mileage they drive, and we'll talk about that later in the show, but it's just a lot less expensive every month. And if you're on that cycle where you're financing for 5 or 6 years and you trade cars every 3 or 4, you're leasing right now.
Without the benefits.
Yep.
Exactly. You've got a higher car payment, but you've always got a car payment. Heck, if you've got a car payment, make it as low as possible.
And you're not protected from the change in the market, the swings in the market.
No.
If you lease, you are protected from it. If you buy the car, you're exposing yourself.
Right.
Okay, so
it's like no sunscreen with summer coming on.
Yeah.
Don't shake your head, Lee. Lane. Look, Lee.
Oh,
where'd I come up with?
Nice.
I'm sorry. Lee Lewis. You can't get the right phone number.
You can't get the right name.
I'm going to make up a new name. He's like, I don't know.
Ladies. Let's just call it a day. Let's leave
you and I, guys.
David and Lane in charge. And we're out of here. We're going to go get some mimosas. See y'all later.
Okay.
Happy Easter.
You know, there was a lot of discussion at these conferences on the most and least expensive cars to drive. And so I did some work on it. And Consumer Reports has published a list of the five most expensive cars per class and the five least expensive cars per class to drive. Now, and they list the expenses of driving the cars that are additional to the cost of the car, and that's depreciation, the number one expense, fuel, loan interest, insurance premiums, sales tax, and maintenance and repairs. So when you buy a car, the biggest cost is not the cost of the car, and I think we're about to take a break.
Yeah, but when we come back, let's talk about the most and the least expensive cars to actually own. Stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number. I'm going to try this again. If you want to call us, 877-881-1053. Yay! Also, our AutoFlex Leasing fan text is 43733. Or you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can follow along with many of the stories we're going to do on the air at the Facebook page, AutoFlex Facebook page.
That's right.
Like us.
Please like us. So right before we went to the commercial break, we talked about Consumer Reports putting out their list of the most and least expensive cars to own. And it's based on depreciation, gas costs, loan interest, insurance premium, sales tax, and then your repair costs. And we've got that list ready.
The total cost of ownership. And that's a lot of the things that we always talk about when we talk about giving people advice. The most expensive midsize sedan, the Volkswagen Passat SEL Premium V6. That car has a base list price of $45,600. Now, when you think about a Passat, you don't think about $45,600. That's the first thing. Secondly, they depreciate like a big dog.
Like
they don't have great resale value. Yeah. And thirdly, they cost a ton to repair if you need repairs. And from time to time, they need repairs.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the killer three on that car. The luxury sedan, the most expensive, the BMW 750 Li. That car starts at $106,200.
Woo!
That should be a hint. The second thing is, again, the depreciation on that car is great. There's a number of other cars that do not depreciate that much at all. The sports car, the Porsche Boxster 2.7 manual, $64,200. Very expensive car going in. Manual limiting the resale on the car in some ways because some people just don't want to stick.
Right.
Small SUV is the Volkswagen Tiguan SEL. Again, this is a small SUV with a base sticker of $48,000.
Yeah.
And depreciation and repair costs are high. And finally, the large SUV, the Nissan Armada Platinum. That car starts at $72,000.
And it drops.
And it drops a lot of value.
And that is the biggest, that's your largest cost on these vehicles is what they are not worth later when you don't want them anymore.
Exactly.
And that's what you really need to consider when you're purchasing a car. Also, when you lease a vehicle, but these are perfect vehicles to lease because then you don't have to worry about, well, in a way, they're not perfect to lease because that same depreciation affects your payment, so your payment will be higher.
Okay, so on the least expensive side, let's look at the other side of the story. These are the cars that depreciate a lot less. The Honda, pardon me, the Toyota Camry Hybrid XLE midsize sedan, $31,800 is a base price. Any Toyota Camry is going to do well as far as you know, owning the car, cost of ownership. In the luxury sedan, the least expensive luxury sedan is the Lexus ES300
hybrid.
Mm-hmm. The sports car, the Honda Civic SI.
Manual.
That's a sports car?
Yeah.
Yeah, the SI is.
Okay.
And it's got great resale value. They lose almost no value at all. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
SUV, the Subaru XV Crosstrek Premium. Now, Subaru has got great resale value now, much better than it was 5 years ago, at least in this part of the country.
But a lot of that has to do with availability. They keep the supply low.
And so
they don't sell them to rental car companies.
They don't sell them to rental car companies, and they have a great resale value because of it. And finally, the large SUV, the Chevrolet Traverse.
Which surprised me.
And that did surprise me also, because I would have thought something more like a 4Runner. But,
or the Pilot.
Anyway.
Yeah, the Toyota 4Runner for sure.
When you're looking at getting a car, you have to consider the total price of the car. I mean, that's a big, big thing. And if you look at the depreciation and the insurance cost and the repair cost, that's going to be your big factors to really look at.
Let me tell you what those New York cab drivers are driving. The Camry hybrids.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they're not going more than 30 miles an hour anywhere.
Right.
Traffic. And they drive 100-plus miles a day.
Yep. And they're roomy and comfortable inside.
And they don't spend any fuel.
Yeah, well, and he was telling us that his fuel cost went from $40 a day to $15 a day when he went from a gasoline vehicle to a hybrid vehicle.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he does all day is drive. So if you were, you know, just driving around at slower speeds. Now, once you get to highway speed, you're using gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then your cost of that of using the vehicle goes up. But at lower speeds, you're good to go.
Let's talk about a couple of other things having to do with cost of driving. One, the first thing, when you're looking for a car to drive or you're looking for a car to lease, you want a car with really good gas mileage. You want a car that's going to be very low in depreciation. But you also want a car that you know will deliver when it comes to your daily driving expense. So there's a number of things that go together in that. The other thing, considering when you're considering leasing, and I'd said most people should be leasing, how many miles a year do you drive? Because the more miles you drive, the more you depreciate the car. So if you drive a car 15,000 miles a year, it's worth X. If you drive a car 12,000 miles a year, it's worth more. If you drive a car more than the mileage allowed on the lease, you have to make up that difference at the end. If you trade the car in, you're going to make it up because they're going to give you less for it because it's got more miles. If you lease it, you're going to make up for it because they're going to charge you for those additional miles. Mileage is a big, big consideration. So when you're looking at a lease, there's a lot of low-mile leases advertised. Make sure you're going to drive those miles.
Right.
Don't sign a low-mile lease, a 10 or a 12,000-mile lease, if you drive 15,000 miles a year. And the killer thing is there are people that will tell you, hey, don't worry about the miles. We'll get you out early. Well, guess what? The miles hurt you, and they hurt you even more if you're trying to get out early because the car's worth less. It's just common sense.
And you didn't pay for them all along.
Exactly.
That cost just doesn't go away. Whether you lease the car or buy the car, the miles you drive totally affect the depreciation. Part of it is how old the car becomes. You know, it's 1 year old, now it's depreciated this much, it's 2 years old, et cetera. And then the mileage. If you've driven 15,000 miles a year or 20 or 25,000 miles a year, people don't look for high mileage used cars. They're always,
right. Oh,
I want to find a 2 year old car with less than 20,000 miles,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the call we get constantly.
Yeah.
And then another thing that will affect it is if you've had an accident. You know, that's another thing that will diminish the value.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were at fault, you can't claim the diminished value from your insurance company. If somebody else is at fault and they do have full coverage insurance, then you can, you know, battle your way to claim that diminished value from their insurance company.
Right.
So mileage is a really big thing. Think about mm-hmm. the mileage you're going to drive. The other thing is term. And here's the thing that people don't consider on term. If you do a 3 year lease, you're going to get to pay sales tax again in 3 years.
Right.
So that's another $2,000, $3,000 in expense. It may be better to stretch that term out a little bit and put off that tax expense for another 2 or 3 years.
Well, I'm raising my hand because I just did a 3 year lease. It'll be up in October.
Mm-hmm.
I have 14,000 miles on my car.
In 3 years?
Almost three. Well, 2.5. So
wow.
It'll be almost 20,000 when I'm done. Well, I live close to my office, and I'm at my office all the time.
Right.
I'm not out buzzing around. Mm-hmm. So I don't drive any miles. I can easily do a 5 year lease. I will not get tired of the car. I'm not in it enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't put enough miles. Then I'll put, 25,000, 30,000 miles on it in 5 years, And I won't have to pay sales tax again so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my car's barely broken in. My tires still have the little knobby things on them.
Wow.
I know.
There's a lot of things that people need to consider when they're thinking about a new car. And if you do a really short term, if you do the 3-year deal, then just figure another couple of grand out of your pocket in 3 years that you didn't think about unless you consider it.
That's so true. Got some AutoFlex Leasing fan texts coming in at 43733. What do you guys recommend for a manly crossover that can pull a jet ski and gets good miles per gallon?
You know what? RAV4 certainly comes to mind. It's a small, that's a small SUV, I guess, not a crossover.
Oh, it's a crossover.
Yeah, it's a good car. Honda CR-V. It'll pull a jet ski. Almost anything will pull a jet ski.
I said manly. We might need to just manly. Add some,
big tires or something. Yeah. But then there went your gas mileage.
We'll put a grill guard on it.
Yeah.
We'll put a ranch hand grill guard and some KC lights. Yeah. Refract KC lights.
I need to think about that one for a minute.
Yeah. What about a Jeep of some sort?
Well, the Wrangler, but it's not a crossover.
Oh, yeah.
But a Wrangler will pull it, and they are smoother than they used to be. They're not the, I like the limited, or the unlimited, I should say, the four-door Wrangler.
Well, and they got great resale value.
Excellent resale value. Be a great one to lease. It'll definitely pull your jet ski up a hill, even.
Yeah. Speaking of, I know just this last segment we talked about the new smaller SUVs that are coming out, and we had said the Honda HR-V is going to be a little bit smaller than the Honda CR-V. Is it going to replace the CR-V, or will they just have
two? It's a different market.
It's a mini.
Yeah. They see that. Now, the danger is always that they could kill their own market on the CR-V.
Yeah.
You could, but they don't anticipate that. They see two different usages.
Okay. Makes sense.
Because if you get too small, you cannot be able to carry your big dogs in it.
Right. But it'll still be bigger than your car.
Right.
Another AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. What's a smaller SUV for my wife, an Acura or a Volvo?
Acura.
That was easy and quick. That's the truth.
And I'm looking at cost of ownership.
Right.
Primarily. I like the Volvo, but when you look at the overall cost, your Acura will perform better.
We've got some banging deals on Acura right now, too. So...
But David said banging.
Yeah.
But the depreciation on that European car is going to be greater than it is on the Asian car. Mm-hmm. And that's just a general rule of thumb. And some people hate to hear that, but that's the reality of the market. And if it changes, I'll be talking the other way. That's the thing.
Yeah.
We don't care what kind of car you get as long as it's a good car.
Exactly. As long as you get it from us.
Right.
Right. another AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 43733. Will there ever be a hybrid truck like the Insight and the Prius?
There already are, but they're in commercial use. There's a lot of hybrid trucks out there in commercial use right now, and a lot of manufacturers planning on building more hybrid trucks. Volvo has got a huge plan in place to build more commercial hybrid trucks than they've got now. Because, again, you get around town, and these are going to be hybrid diesels. You get around town, you're driving 30 miles an hour everywhere you're going, driving a delivery truck. That hybrid saves you a ton of money in fuel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought they already did that with, like, the Escalades and... some of the vehicles, and they made them for public.
They did. Well, you've got the Tahoe hybrid. You've got some of those, but there's a bunch more of them coming.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number, if you have a question about a car, maybe you're going back and forth between a couple different models and you want some advice, 877-881-1053. Or you can send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. They're open today, and it's going to be gorgeous weather for a test drive. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. To see all our great pre-owned cars, AutoFlex.com. Click on pre-owned cars. Hey, there's a second question on the small SUV, thinking about getting the wife a small SUV, safety being the question. And for the most part, vehicles are very, very safe now. And I know Volvo sold safety for many years. That was their big claim to fame. But the reality is now cars have lots of airbags. They all have crumpled zones. And they're all safe. There's not really any unsafe cars.
My next ride will definitely have knee airbags.
They have knee airbags now?
Yeah.
Toyota and Lexus came out with those first. I haven't checked on all of the other brands, but I'm getting a knee airbag because I have a friend who was in a front-end collision accident, and it damaged her. You know, she had hurt her knees, and then she wound up with blood clots and all these problems later. So, knee airbags. I know Lexus has them on their SUV and some of their cars, so look for those.
Good to know. Mm-hmm.
That's just my thing.
Yeah, I like it.
Because of an experience that a friend had.
Okay, speaking of emissions, weren't we speaking of emissions? Anyway, there.
What a segue.
Yes. Mercedes-Benz is working on a viable hydrogen cell car that they think they will have on the streets by 2015. Now, a hydrogen fuel cell car actually uses hydrogen as fuel, and it creates a reaction in the fuel cell that produces electricity that drives an electric motor.
We talked about these a long time ago.
Exactly. The only emission is water vapor. So,
wow.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. They're in talking to the head of alternative fuel development for General Motors, he told me that the electric cars would be sort of a bridge kind of a thing along with the hybrids. But he said 25 years from now, 30 years from now, everyone will be driving hydrogen fuel cell cars because the science will come to a point in the next few years where they can build them cheaply enough and they fill up. That's the key. They fill up just like a gas car does.
Right.
So if you have an electric car, you have to take it somewhere. You park it. It takes 6 hours to charge. It makes cross-country trips really, really inconvenient. Hydrogen fuel cell, you fill it up like you do a gas car.
Wow.
It takes no longer. And, you know, the biggest cost factor right now is the platinum that they have to use in the fuel cell.
Right.
And as science progresses, they'll figure out less expensive ways to do that. But, again, Germany has got a system of fuel cell delivery stations, which are gas stations for all practical purposes, and they will be opening those up over the next 2 years. And now there is a joint effort between Daimler and Ford and Nissan and Mercedes and Germany to build even more of those stations. They're talking about having 400 or 500 of those stations in Germany available in the next 5 to 10 years, which means that those cars can be driven on the street. You can fill them up. And they do mention in here that the main thing that would keep you from being able to sell these cars is not being able to fill them up conveniently.
Right.
Makes sense.
Well, that's the biggest fear for, you know, range anxiety. And the other issue with these cars is the cost, right? Because of the platinum.
Right.
Currently, they can't keep the cost under $100,000, but Elon Musk is selling his electric cars for $100,000, so
all day long. He hates these cars, by the way. He says that hydrogen fuel will never be the fuel of the future, and he has a different future in mind.
Of course he does.
Yeah.
Would hydrogen be more or less expensive than oil?
Well, it's the most abundant element on Earth, mm-hmm. and there are huge hydrogen production facilities working right now because they use hydrogen to distill gasoline. So the petroleum companies already have the ability to produce mass amounts of hydrogen. So it becomes a delivery issue, just having the stations, and a cost issue in building
the
engine. Yeah.
Got it. Next on Cosmos, scientists discover new ways to make ethanol without corn.
Well, and this may be a question nobody has ever asked before because nobody cared, but ethanol, right now we're making ethanol between the United States and South America. We make it with either corn here or they make it with sugar cane in South America. And it drives up, for us, it drives up the cost of food.
Because we feed our food corn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we eat it.
Yep.
Yeah. So they have now discovered a way to make ethanol without using corn or sugar cane. And it's really a pretty big deal. They're going to have to refine it some more, and right now it's experimental, but they're saying in the next 2 to 3 years that they will have a working model of a device that will make ethanol with no corn and with no sugar, which would change the equation quite a bit, especially for companies like Archer Daniels Midland, mm-hmm. who do $2.6 billion a year in ethanol.
I wonder if that would reduce the price of our popcorn at the movie theater.
Nothing would reduce the price of that. They make 800% or 8,000%
on popcorn. Crazy.
Yeah. That's the markup?
Yep.
Wowzers.
Mm.
That
anyway.
Just hurts next time you go buy popcorn. Thinking about that. Ugh. AutoFlex Leasing Fantex 43733. What do you think is the best truck for me, 2010 Tundra or 2010 Chevy?
The Tundra is going to be more expensive going in. The Chevrolet is going to be a lot less expensive going in. That's a really good question.
They're both great trucks.
They're both good trucks. Yeah.
I think you pick the one you like the best. We could certainly, if you're interested in doing, it's a 2010. Yeah, pick the one you like the best. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can lose either way.
Yeah.
Chevy builds a great truck. And they hold their value well, too. But the Tundra is going to be more expensive. And you'll get more for it later as well.
Maybe go test drive both of them side by side at Autoflex and find out which one you like better.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Make it easy for you. Another Autoflex leasing fan text. We're talking about alternative fuels. This guy says, what's up with the Dodge truck that runs off of natural gas? Have you guys seen them? I think I saw one in Fort Worth.
They're out there, and they work beautifully, and natural gas is a wonderful alternative fuel. Again, the problem is the delivery system. Where do you buy it? Mm-hmm. Municipalities have been using natural gas to power pickup trucks and buses and dump trucks for years.
But they have their own fueling
since the 60s. But they have their own fueling stations. It requires a different tank because it's a pressurized tank, and so it doesn't. It doesn't conform exactly to like a regular pickup does, but it's terribly effective, and natural gas is a lot less expensive. So it's a very viable way to do it. Dodge is the first manufacturer to sell that truck on the open market. We'll see what happens, but I know Chevrolet has already got plans to build one.
I wonder how that person knew that they saw one in Fort Worth. Does it have a sign on it the way the hybrids used to say hybrid and E15?
CNG. Yeah, okay. It's got a CNG on the side of it. Let me tell you, the other thing is the Ford pickup truck that's coming out, this 2015 Ford truck with the aluminum body, it is all the talk of the industry. And when you think about it, it's a huge, huge advance and also change in the truck market. Here's why. Ford trucks are responsible for about 1.5% of the total automotive market in the United States. That is the number one selling vehicle in the United States. So by converting this truck to aluminum panels and knocking 700 pounds off the weight,
wow!
Suddenly you got a 700-pound greater carrying capacity.
Yeah.
It's more quick. It's more agile. Now, the issue on repairing the panels, Ford, I think, has taken an interesting way of doing this. They're going to be replacing a lot of things rather than repairing a lot of things. But they've built the truck so that you can replace those panels easily. It's going to cost the average Ford dealer about $50,000 to retool and to buy the riveting machines that they're going to need rather than welders. For the body shop to replace those aluminum panels and repair those aluminum trucks. But it's a huge, huge advance. And it's a crazy wild kind of a step because no other manufacturer has even considered doing anything like that. So we'll see what happens.
What will that do to the insurance costs, I wonder, for those vehicles?
And that's a factor. But in
Hail Alley.
Well, and that's the other thing. The aluminum panels that they're going to use are, in fact, an aluminum alloy, and they dent less than sheet metal does.
Oh, yeah?
So for hail, it may not be as big an issue, but when somebody runs into the side of it, it's going to be a big issue.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
Another Autoflex leasing fan text, 43733. Is the new Grand Cherokee a good, safe vehicle for the wife and kids? And also, how's the gas mileage and resale value on that?
Don't know about resale value because I haven't been out long enough. The gas mileage is about what you would expect. It's good. It's solid.
Depends on the V6 or the V8. Stay away from the V8.
And the big knock on the truck was the transmission. And they'd done a software fix on the transmission, so they repaired the transmission by giving you a little plug-in thumb drive to plug into your dash, and it repaired the transmission. I think that's been a good fix, and I haven't heard anything else negative on that. If any of the fan texters have, please text them.
But they lease well. We've leased quite a few of those Jeep Grand Cherokees.
They're great on the inside.
My sister has one. She loves it.
They're lovely.
One of the ladies at work has one. She loves it. But what's amazing is you can get one that's really decked out and expensive. They have some that are, like supercharged engines, and it gets crazy.
With all the trim levels and everything.
Yeah, they go really high in trim level. Mm-hmm. But they're just beautiful on the inside. They really are, and they got a nice look on the outside, too.
We like the Jeep. I've always liked Jeeps.
Yeah, I think from a safety standpoint, again, pretty well everything is safe that's out there now because of the number of airbags and the mandatory skid control and stuff.
But I think it's funny that you mentioned that they fixed the transmission with a software update, because I talked to a fellow, and I think I mentioned this in a previous show, who has a shop. He said, anymore, Tammy, fixing cars is not parts replacement, it's software updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Makes sense.
We're driving computers.
Everything's a computer nowadays. Yeah.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, do you all offer maintenance programs for y'all's customers? If so, is it an in-house service department? No, we do not offer an in-house service department. We do offer maintenance programs in the form of service contracts, extended warranties, so that if you're getting a pre-owned car from us or you're getting a new car from us and you're going to have it past the warranty period, we offer you the ability to protect yourself with a warranty.
Okay. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lee Lewis, and me, Sybil. Feel free to send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733, or you can call Autoflex. They are open today. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. I need to mention the Save Money Monday sale that starts on Monday. We've got some really, really cool cars. Here's how it works. Every week on Tuesday, we'll send 7, 8, maybe 10 cars to auction. And these are all great cars. There's nothing wrong with them. We've just had them long enough. And so we go ahead. They do. And we go ahead and send them to auction. So this week, how about a 2014 Infiniti G35? How about a 2014 Suburban LT with moonroof and video for the kids? Or for a fun car, how about a 2009 Volkswagen Beetle convertible?
Oh,
yeah. Cute.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of really great cars on that Save Money Monday sale list. If you go to autoflex.com and click on the specials, you'll find them right there.
That's right.
You won't even have to negotiate,
because the prices are already there.
It's done.
Got lots of Autoflex Leasing fan texts coming in. Here's one. The dealership I leased my car from keeps sending me letters to come by and turn in my 2011 Pilot early. Leasing it for $538 a month, a four-year lease. July 4th will be the third year. Is this just advertising, or do they really need used vehicles?
Both, I think.
Yeah, probably a little of both. It is advertising, and that's an old come-on in the car business. Oh, we need to buy your car. Bring us your car.
Yes.
Well, everybody needs to buy everybody's car. I mean, that's a fact. So, now the interesting thing is, and we looked at this yesterday on a Tahoe that we had in the lease, the 2011s, in 2010 and 2011s, the industry had lowered the residual values on the leases that we were doing. So, that means that those cars, you paid more depreciation on those cars than you would have normally paid on an older lease, which means that you're going to be right side up in them a lot quicker than anyone expected.
Yay!
Will it last? No, it won't.
No, and so maybe trading now does benefit you.
It could.
Simply because next year, the used car market is going to be weaker than it is
this year. It's
going
to be weaker than it is now.
Because we're going to have more of them available. However, it means you're going to go in and your sales tax is due sooner. So it could be a wash, really.
Could be. But from a selling standpoint, yep, that's probably a come on. From a reality standpoint, yep, you can probably trade.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's win-win.
Yeah.
But if you want to make sure, why don't you call one of our offices today or Monday, whenever it's convenient.
Well, and that's the other thing. We need their car, too. So.
Yeah. I mean, we can sell that.
If it's
the
a good car, that's a good car.
Pilots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Another Autoflex Leasing fan text. What are your opinions on the Tacoma pre-runner and four-wheel drive double cab? Should I be worried about buying a used one with over 100,000 miles?
Not if it's been well-maintained. I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Those are very popular trucks. You'll always pay a little more for them because they're smaller, and there's not a big selection of the smaller vehicles that are just so hardy and reliable. Get it checked out by a technician, somebody you trust. There are different companies that you can hire. But anytime you get a vehicle that's got a few more miles on it, get it checked out. I don't think, that truck will go 200,000-300,000 miles easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure it's been maintained well up until now. You know, see what problems it currently has.
Right. We were talking about natural gas, how Dodge has a new truck coming out that runs on CNG. And this AutoFlex Leasing fan texter says there's CNG stations going in along I-20 West and one in Rockwall as well. Because we were saying that might be one of the problems is finding filling stations. But that's good to know, coming in off I-20 where a lot of truck drivers drive their nationwide routes. Any thoughts on the new Chevy SS?
It's a beast. 415 horsepower. I've driven their new Impala. I thought that was maybe the most improved sedan I had ever seen, given the old Impala versus the new Impala. I would think it would be awesome. The other car that comes to mind on that would be the new performance GT Mustang that's out with 642 horsepower, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you want to go really fast, either one of those cars will work.
Here's another guy who's maybe got a little buyer's remorse. He says, I leased a 2013 Silverado LS. I pay $600 a month, and I feel like I should have gotten a better truck for that much.
You got to know all the circumstances. He could have carried negative in with a trade that would result in his payments being at $600 a month.
Maybe he did a short-term lease, rolled in his sales tax and everything.
Maybe. That's an awful lot.
You could do it.
It is. But
and depending on the miles that they built in.
Exactly. It could have been built at 20,000 or 25,000 miles a year. There could be all kinds of other things. So it's hard to know with just that. If you wanted to give one of our offices a call, we'd be glad to look at that and give you an idea. The other thing, though, is if it's fairly new, probably you're going to be in it for a little while.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes it's better to just go, okay, I've done it. And from now on, I'm just going to do a little bit more shopping to compare, get a couple more opinions before I sign on the dotted line. And then you'll know how good a deal you got before and you won't feel like you made a bad deal for yourself.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text.
But it's over with now, so don't stew on it.
Don't beat yourself up.
Please.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. David, how well did the Ford Raptor do, and why did Chevy not build a model to counter it? That's from Big O in Fort Worth. It did extremely well. We lease everyone we can buy.
Do.
I mean, everyone we get our hands on, we can lease. Raptors are...
And sell. We've had them pre-owned, and people
they sell
have
instantly.
Been calling like nuts on it.
Yeah.
I think Chevy puts their efforts in cars.
They have. They didn't build anything.
Speed.
Yeah, they didn't really build anything to compete directly with that Raptor. The other thing of the Raptor is... We do a lot of professional athletes. We help them with their cars because we're endorsed by the National Football League Players Association. A lot of football players like that Raptor.
Yeah.
Because it's so big, they can get in and out, and those guys are giant guys,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I think I remember Jay Ratliff when he played for the Cowboys. I think he had one.
He got that car from us, or that truck from us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's why I knew that.
Jay was our customer.
Here's another question from the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. I've got to replace my Mitsubishi Endeavor. It's got 314,000 miles, but the transmission's going out. How does the Nissan Murano or Rogue stack up?
Great. I'm so glad your Mitsubishi Endeavor lasted 314,000 miles.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That was a pretty well bulletproof engine in that Endeavor.
Good.
Yeah. So the engine may last longer than the car in that case.
Yeah, I love the Murano.
And the Raptor, both. They're both really, really good vehicles, according to how big a car. And, of
Rogue.
Course, they look, what did I say?
Murano and Rogue.
Raptor.
You said Raptor. You
I mean,
still
Rogue.
Have Raptor.
Yeah,
on
yeah
the
Rogue.
Brain.
Sorry.
But, the Rogue is much smaller. They're really, I don't have a whole lot of experience with the Rogue. I've leased quite a few. We have leased quite a few. Haven't had any negative feedback, but I'm a big fan of the Murano.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable seats.
Right.
I think that's my favorite part of that car.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text. Do you know the depreciation on a 2009 Chevrolet Z71? Bought one used about a year ago, lifted it, had some nice big tires and wheels and fenders. Okay, here's the thing. You've purchased a pre-owned car, which is going to limit...
That was smart, actually.
Yeah, it's going to limit the depreciation. If you're not going to lease a new car, you should always purchase a pre-owned car.
Right.
You're going to limit your depreciation just because it was a pre-owned car, and somebody else really had taken the big hit on that.
It's already depreciated.
Now, you've invested in the car, and it sounds like you like it. I would drive it. I mean, I would... You're not going to lose a lot of money on that car. Now, in raising a car up or adding wheels and tires, changing the appearance of the car, sometimes you limit the resale value because only certain people are going to be interested in buying that car.
But with
the advent of the internet, you can reach out and touch millions of people when you decide to sell that car.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys just like him. I'm going to assume that's
reach
a guy.
Out.
that are gonna want a truck that's been lifted. It's got the big wheels and tires. It's got that great look to it. He got it with 50,000 miles on it. He takes care of that truck. It'll run $200,000, no problem.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Since we're talking trucks,
not $200,000. It'll run 200,000 miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be a really good investment if he paid 25 and sold it for 200.
Yes.
Big O in Fort Worth had asked about the Ford Raptor and why Chevy didn't have a model that countered it. And this guy says the Chevy Silverado 6.2 liter V8 will compete with any Raptor motor-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's just the look of the Raptor. I mean,
it's cool looking.
It is. They made it very, very distinct. Everyone that sees one knows instantly what it is.
Yep.
And so that was the beauty, I think, of the truck.
If you have a Volkswagen or a Mazda, you might want to pay attention because there are a couple of recalls.
Real quickly, yeah, VW recalled 26,000 2014 vehicles, 2014 Jettas, Beetles, Beetle convertibles, and Passats with the 1.8T engine and torque converter automatic transmission. There is an O-ring in the transmission cooler that could fail, which would allow transmission fluid to leak, possibly on a hot surface, which could result in a fire. They have not had any fires reported yet. Here's the other thing. You're going to see a lot of recalls now that the big deal at GM with the 2.6 million cars because of the ignition switches. The government has come down on GM with both feet, and all of these manufacturers are going to be making sure that they are not in that position because none of them want problems with the U.S. government. It's very expensive. Mary Barra was a keynote speaker at one of the conferences that I was at. She's the new president of General Motors, and they grilled her in the one-on-one about the recall again and again and again. And, of course, she wanted to talk about new product and how GM was doing great. And all they wanted to do was know about the recall.
Did you guys see the SNL parody of that?
No, I did not.
Was it this past
weekend? She did. It was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. She did?
Yeah. Yeah, she mentioned, they asked her about the parody and what she thought about it, and she said, I'm probably not the best one to judge that. She is very, very smart, let me tell you.
I just know if they make fun of you on SNL, you have made it.
Totally.
Right?
I think it's flattering if you get made fun of on SNL.
Okay, finally, and this is really not anything that's going to affect anyone here unless you've bought a car from another part of the country, but Mazda is recalling 109 Mazda Tributes over potential control arm separation issues. And these are cars that came out of the salt the street states, all the northern states where they salt the streets in the winter. That salt can add to corrosive problems on the lower control arms, and they're recalling 109,000 Tribute SUVs, and these are older vehicles, 2001 through 2004, anywhere from 10 to 13 year old vehicles, for control arm separation problems. In other words, it could rust through and break.
All right. If you need to read along with any of the stories we talked about, head to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook page and like us, and you can see all the stories posted right there online. Or if you want to call Autoflex, they are open today, 817 or 972-234-1234. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Lane for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.